This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Vice President J.D. Vance is walking perhaps the most thin, tight rope yet as he's desperately trying to position himself as an opponent of the war that his administration started and then lost. But now he finds himself in Islamabad, Pakistan, trying to position himself as some sort of peacemaker who is going to solve the problem that he was a part of starting in the first place. And he's making things worse. I'm joined by Micah Irfan. We're going to break down some updates on these negotiations, on J.D. Vance's two-faced rhetoric. He acts like he's anti-war in the media, positions himself as against these wars. He even reportedly had his team leak to the New York Times very recently that he was vocally against this war in the Situation Room, when in reality, he was the one saying we should strike swift and decisively if we're going to do it at all. J.D. Vance is two-faced. He's controlled by Peter Thiel. He is nothing but a puppet. He's honestly more of a puppet than Donald Trump. Donald Trump at least has his weird political instincts that he tries, and they usually lead him to absolute disaster. J.D. Vance is just a slimeball puppet who will act like a different person every single month. This month, he is a negotiator in Islamabad, Pakistan. Let me break down some of the updates that we have seen throughout the day. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu just came out in the middle of these negotiations and said his country's military campaign against Iran is not yet over, even as the peace efforts continue. Two Navy-guided missile destroyers began clearing mines in the Strait of Hormuz, and some U.S. vessels were turned back by Iranian drones, but now CENTCOM is reporting some are making it through. We don't quite know if that's true. Trump on negotiations just moments ago said it makes no difference to him on whether or not we win these negotiations. So J.D. Vance is in a very, very precarious position. If the war erupts in the Middle East once again due to failed negotiations, then his 2028 chances are essentially cooked, as we say. They're essentially done for. Now, if J.D. Vance gets a deal and he's like Neville Chamberlain and he ends up ceding too much ground and appeasing Iran and Iran gets control of the Strait of Hormuz, then that's also a very terrible position. I don't have much faith in J.D. Vance. And if you want us to continue breaking this down and you appreciate the work independent media does on YouTube, make sure you drop a like on this video below. We thrive and survive on YouTube, on the internet, punching back against MAGA, and the community that you have helped us build is beautiful. So make sure you subscribe to both Micah Irfan and Adam Mockler below. Micah, I want to ask you, after Iran asked for J.D. Vance to lead these negotiations, why do you think Donald Trump sent J.D. Vance? He probably doesn't trust him much. He probably doesn't have much faith. Why did Trump send J.D. Vance to Islamabad?
Well, I think that Trump basically has no control over this situation at all anymore, and he's totally okay with a loss. He just wants to get out of his hair. You know how Trump is. He gets bored with things like a child. And so we predicted, actually, at the very beginning of this, I said, he's going to give up on this. There's going to be no victory, and he's going to declare victory. He's going to move on. And he's moved on. He doesn't care about this anymore. And so J.D. Vance has been sent. Why did Iran ask for J.D. Vance? Because they know J.D. Vance is so desperate for peace that he's going to give them anything they want, because the guy's looking at his approval rating. I mean, Trump is between negative 20 and negative 30. J.D. Vance is between negative 22 and negative 32. He's even less popular than the president of the United States, because at least people know that Trump is like an idiot and all these things, but he's like genuine about it. J.D. Vance says all the same bad things as Trump, but he's also a poser and a liar and a deceiver. And he's so obviously fake. And so he's in Iran desperately trying to get some sort of deal. But the reality is nothing can salvage J.D. Vance's reputation, because everybody knows that he's just doing a PR stunt right now to save himself from a conflict that he is ultimately responsible for partially. He's the vice president of the United States. If he actually opposes anything Trump's doing, the only thing he should be doing is resigning. Otherwise, he's part of the administration. He can't pretend like he's not responsible for their mistakes.
I also find it hilarious that Netanyahu is continuing to directly undermine these quote-unquote peace talks that are happening. I mean, Mainstream media has been calling this a ceasefire for the past few days. They said that there is a ceasefire in the Middle East. Yet you check social media or even the mainstream media, the same mainstream media reporting this, and you see hundreds of dead people in Lebanon. You see Israel continuing to strike. Hezbollah fires back. Iran fires towards Israel. Tel Aviv is striking down missiles in the sky. This doesn't seem like a ceasefire to me. It seems like the United States ceased firing and the war continued because Donald Trump is desperately looking for any sort of off-ramp to end this.
Right. That's exactly right, Adam. I mean, nobody for a ceasefire, everybody keeps firing. It's remarkable. Here's what happened, actually. There's no ceasefire. A ceasefire is an agreement where both sides stop hostilities. Here's what happened. America retreated. Trump was losing the war. He had absolutely no leverage. The Iranians had actually gained control of the Strait of Hormuz. Everything was falling apart for him. And he said, basically, I'm done dealing with this. F the consequences. I'm out. I'm going to leave this. I'm going to run with, you know, my tail between my legs. And he literally said to the Iranians, hey, man, whatever deal you want, we're going to be okay with it. I mean, if you look at the 10-point plan that America said we're willing to talk about, that it is literally everything Iran wants. It's no more sanctions on Iran. It's Americans paying reparations to Iran for the damage we caused to the country. We're going to pay reparations to these guys. It's perpetual control of the Strait of Hormuz for Iran. All of these things, Trump was so desperate to run away that he said yes to that deal, basically. And this is the insane thing. He's declaring victory and saying Iran surrendered. America surrendered. They got everything they possibly can want. And now J.D. Vance is there so that he can hold up some sort of deal as if it's a victory. This is a disaster.
Yeah, it's clear what happened is Donald Trump was desperate for an off-ramp, so he asked Pakistan to kind of manufacture some sort of ceasefire, anything at all to make it easier for me to walk away from this war that I started with my tail tucked between my legs, like you said. And then Pakistan said, okay, we're going to try to mediate this. Iran put forth a 10-point peace plan. The United States put forth a 15-point peace plan. Donald Trump even conceded and said we can use Iran's 10-point peace plan as the starting basis, the starting point for the negotiation. That means the starting point for the negotiation ceded the Strait of Hormuz, ceded the idea that you can extort waterways and, you know, passageways, rather, for money, which means that international law be damned, you can just extort any sort of ships going through these passageways, and that Iran gets more and more money in the future. So let's just look at what these right-wingers will say on TV, like Scott Jennings, when we talk about his debates. He'll say, no missiles, no funding terrorists, no nukes, no military. I find that to be a win. Well, guess what? They're making more money so they can rebuild their missiles right now. And by the way, they still have a lot of their missile launchers hidden in the mountains, and their missile capacity still exists. They're still striking Israel. Number two, the nuclear capability has not really been diminished. Yes, we set them back, but just like we set them back 8 months ago, it's not irreparably, they're not irrevocably set back.
Have the enriched uranium, right? Which is the main thing that we were going after. They still have it.
They uploaded all of the knowledge and all of the blueprints to the cloud. So in the cloud exists all of the blueprints to rebuild what they had. All of the scientists are scattered out across Iran because they want to maintain that knowledge, and they will rebuild. They're going to try to get a deal right now with the United States in this position of weakness that allows them to rebuild over the next few decades. And J.D. Vance is going to be somebody who is blamed for this. I mean, it's kind of funny. So Obama went into these Iran negotiations, and a lot of people were very critical of the JCPOA, were very critical and blamed it on Obama. He's still the person we're talking about a decade later. In a decade, we're going to be talking about J.D. Vance's Islamabad negotiations. They might call it the Islamabad Accords. You know, they have all of these random accords that they name. They have the Oslo Accords, all this stuff. J.D. Vance is going to be the person who led this, and it's likely going to be a failure. I don't have much faith. Do you?
There's just no way that it could succeed. I mean, this is such a disaster. The best chance, the best thing they could possibly get in these negotiations, and I doubt they'll get it, is the Strait of Hormuz will go back to being what it was before the conflict. So yeah. How is that a victory for the United States? You're not going to get Iran to stop backing Hezbollah. You're not going to get Iran to stop getting, like, you know, stop manufacturing ballistic missiles. And you're not going to give up their enriched uranium. So basically, the best thing we can hope for is that they stop doing something they only started doing because of this war in the first place. And I don't think J.D. Vance is going to fight hard for that. he's trying to pretend like he was against this war from the beginning. But we know that, the only reason why J.D. Vance is vice president in the first place is because he was selected by Palantir, which is a defense technology company. This guy is the Palantir vice president. He exists to help these tech companies sell war to the American people. He talks like he's a populist, but if he ever becomes our Palantir president rather than vice president, you bet your ass we're going to have more wars. Because why would these tech companies and these billionaires and the defense industry support somebody who's going to hurt their own industry? That's never going to happen. So he's LARPing, but we all know where his loyalties lie. It's in perpetual war. That's what keeps his donors wealthy, and that's what he's always going to push for.
Yeah, and I want to point out J.D. Vance has been largely sidelined by Donald Trump during this presidency. We covered this a lot on the Adam Mockler channel, that Marco Rubio had kind of taken the spotlight. I mean, to be fair, he's the Secretary of State, so of course he's going to take care of foreign affairs. But it was getting to a point where Trump was constantly glazing and praising Marco Rubio's Munich speech while not really mentioning any of J.D. Vance's recent work. And he even one time pointed out at the Easter lunch, "Oh, J.D., it looks like you've lost a lot of weight." Meaning like, wait a minute, you haven't seen this guy in a few months? I mean, J.D. Vance did lose weight, but J.D. Vance had been largely sidelined, and now he's trying to position himself as anti-war. The timeline, according to the reporting, is that J.D. Vance told Donald Trump he thinks that this war could backfire, but he thinks that we should do it swiftly, decisively, and the best way to do it would be get it done and do it quickly. That's what people around J.D. Vance said that was the original goal. And then as the war progressed, we got more leaks and more leaks to the New York Times. And now sources close to J.D. Vance are saying that he had the strongest opposition to this war. They're trying to post hoc, after the fact, paint him as the strongest opposition to this war after it went poorly. You know what would have happened if this war went amazingly? If this war would have been swift? I mean, they would have said that J.D. Vance was with this the whole time. He was for it the whole time. But he's trying
to... happened in Venezuela, right? He had no opposition to the strikes in Venezuela. You never heard that. And it's because he doesn't actually have any real opposition to any of these things. In fact, I actually think he supports them. I think he'd love us to be in the Middle East in perpetuity. But this is a marketing campaign. But the thing is, people know that J.D. Vance is an illegitimate figure. I mean, the guy went from, you know, calling Trump Hitler to endorsing the guy and being his vice president. Can you get more faker than J.D. Vance? That's why I think this guy is a nothing burger in 2028. I don't see why people are so stressed out about him. Everybody can see through him.
And as we say, some of the things that we've been workshopping, MAGA has been the largest scam in American history. I can't believe they built this movement on affordability, America first, no new wars, even to some degree protecting the children, saving the children from whatever. Now, this movement has become a protector of the Epstein class. The movement is raising gas prices. Why is there a thumbs up next to me? This is all this wild. But they are, gas prices are spiking. We're starting new wars in the Middle East that are in perpetuity. And I'm going to leave it there. If you appreciate the work we do on this channel, drop a like and subscribe. Make sure you follow Micah Irfan below. I love you all and peace out.
Thanks.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase